Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is August 2nd, 2019, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Mike. Hello, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, and can you believe it? It's already August.
It's August. It's August 2nd.
It's August 2nd, to be exact.
And it's, swim is over. My kids are done with swim. So this weekend, I'm like, what do I do?
I think you have a deck to sand.
Oh, that's right.
A few things to take care of. Yeah.
Well.
I'm sure Michaela will have many honeydews for you to consider.
Oh, she will. I'm sure she will. But the other cool thing that I know not a lot is happening in sports right now. But, you know, my son's first soccer practice was yesterday. And guess what the name is?
What's the name, Mike?
The Quakes.
The Quakes.
And all those avid listeners know that I'm a big fan of the San Jose Earthquakes.
And very fitting for California.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I hope he develops into the next Chris Wondolowski.
Yeah, I've already bought him the jersey.
Awesome.
Changed his last name to Coughlin Wondolowski. So, but hey, Kevin, I thought, you know, we've talked a lot about the domestic sugar market and corn sweetener market and commercially what's happening and et cetera. I thought we'd go a little bit further out and we'd do the world market and talk a little bit about what's happening with the world market. What do you say?
Great. No, world market is starting to get very interesting.
Yeah.
It's been such huge inventories, surplus production over the last couple of years.
Yep.
Again, prices have been so low, it's been something we didn't have to worry about.
Right. Well, what's happening now?
Well, as typically happens, we get these 2 to 3 year cycles, and it looks like we're turning to a sizable deficit. I thought, you know, a few months ago, we're looking at a small deficit, maybe 2.5-3 million metric tons. But having looked at our latest numbers, we're up to a deficit of 7 million metric tons.
That's growing.
That is growing.
You know, I'll tell you what, the cycle is changing, it sounds like.
It definitely is changing for this year. The question is, will it continue for a longer cycle? But,
okay,
you know, really, it's coming about from both sides. We're getting slow growth in consumption, and we're getting lower production. On the consumption side, you know, we're now looking at probably under 1% growth.
Okay.
And those trends really seem to be hitting exactly what we're seeing in the United States. We're seeing dietary trends, people wanting to stay away from high calorie, sweet goods, et cetera, and, you know, looking at obesity concerns, et cetera. We're also looking at slow global economic growth. That's okay. Certainly been tame, and all the talk about all these tariffs and everything else, you know, could continue to have a longer term impact on the economy.
Right.
And then everyone's favorite topic, taxes.
Oh, I love taxes.
There's more and more countries are looking at beverage taxes and taxes on high caloric sweetened goods.
So you're seeing these taxes are having an impact on demand.
They definitely are in several countries that have put on some pretty good taxes and targeted, like Mexico, with their beverage tax, things like that. Definitely.
Okay. So that's the consumption side. What about production? What are key areas and what's happening in those areas?
Yeah, well, production's really the key. And we're looking at a nearly 10 million metric ton drop in production for 2020. And that's on a crop year. In our numbers, most of that's coming from India.
Okay.
India, we're looking at a drop from 35.55 million metric tons down to 29.75 million metric tons. And that's largely a result of an extended drought. And, you know, that's basically having effect reduced harvest area and certainly hitting yields in, you know, some of the key growing states there.
Okay.
You know, despite the drop in India's production, they're still likely to have enough sugar to meet their domestic demand. So it's not necessarily a big concern within the country of India, especially when you consider they have huge stocks around 15 million metric tons.
Mm.
From a world market perspective, though, it's how much sugar are they going to be exporting out of the country?
Okay.
You know, the government also has set aside 4 million metric tons to try to take some of the and support their domestic market. And also relieve some of the issues coming about in the WTO from countries complaining about subsidize exports.
So that would never happen.
Never happen. No. So anyway, India's plush with sugar. They're still going to have some sugar, and they'll hit the export market. It's just a question of, you know, how many tons are they going to let out? You know, it's probably going to be 4 or 5 million metric tons, something like that, to hit the market.
How about Brazil?
Yes. So obviously, whenever you talk about the world market, you got to talk about Brazil, as they represent the majority of exports.
Okay.
Brazil continues to produce as much ethanol as possible is the main story. In fact, we're now looking at a 1% increase through July.
What would that get us to on an ethanol
65%
share? 65%
of their cane. Can you imagine? 65% of their cane is going to ethanol. Could you imagine if we sent that much corn to ethanol here in the United States?
No, I can't, Kevin.
Exactly.
I can't. But normally we're at like a 50-50, 55-45. But
55-45, something like the last couple of years. And, you know, part of that's policy.
Right.
Brazil continues to put the ethanol blend and fuel rates up at, I think, 27% right now. So it's requiring a lot of ethanol to meet their fuel demand. And, you know, as long as world prices are down, don't see any changes there.
Got it.
And now that we're getting a deficit, you could see things start to shift. However, if they start to shift, that puts more pressure back on prices. Production goes up. So
that's right.
I don't see it happening anytime soon there.
Got it.
From an export potential, you know, Brazil, go back a few years, they were exporting like 28 million metric tons, 29 million metric tons of sugar. Now it's down under 20, looking maybe 19.3, 19.5 million metric tons.
Okay.
So that's a lot less sugar into that market. That's why it's, you know, crucial we get those Indian exports to come in.
Okay.
From the other parts of the world, you know, take a look at some of the other countries that are looking at the deficit here. It's really some more of the Asian countries. Thailand, you know, your third largest producer, looking at some lower yields as a result of the dryness there. Pakistan, same thing. And then turning into West Europe, you know, you watched the Tour de France, you heard a lot about the hot weather there until the very end of the stage when they got hail damage and shut down one of the last stages. But it's had a big impact on their production as well.
I would imagine.
So when you look at all of those four countries, you're really looking at a 5 to 7% decline versus last year.
Okay.
Not huge, but, you know,
it
certainly
an
significant and adds up to that 10 million metric ton drop in production.
Okay. What other factors might affect this world sugar market?
Well, you know, we always watch a few things. Currency rates, the Brazilian real continues to remain weak versus the US dollar. It's come back and strengthened a little bit here of late, but we're still now, you know, trending back towards 3.9 reals per US dollar. So I don't see any major change there or anything that's really going to drive that back and get strong that would have a big impact to strengthen world sugar prices.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be pretty stable despite all the talk about interest rate changes, et cetera, here in the United States.
Okay.
Crude oil market has been interesting. We started to see some strength there, but now that's seemed to come back off a little bit. And again, those tariff talks and whatnot, people start worrying about trade and we bring crude oil prices back down. But, you know, it seems with all the volatility that we have potential in Iran for something, you know, huge powder keg. I think, you know, we're one missile away from strength there. So geopolitical uncertainty can help drive some strength there. But we're already producing so much ethanol, it's hard to see higher crude oil prices having a big impact, other than the fact that commodities want to follow those markets. And if you start seeing funds come into crude oil markets, you know, they could start spilling over into world sugar and corn, et cetera. And those markets, so strong correlation on upward moves like that. So there's certainly some possibilities there. But in general, I think you look at the number 11 market and you're at 12 cents on the nearby, but you go out into the 2020 March contract and you're up a full penny. So there's a huge forward curve. I think the forward curve describes the story. You're going to see the market creeping up. I think the 13s could become 14 cents, something like that, when you get out 6-9 months. Maybe when we start getting to the curtailing of Brazil's crop year and less sugar being available for the export markets at that time. But the stocks should keep the market from going too crazy. Now, a caveat to that is if we start looking at some of the dryness in these big producing countries and we start looking at 2021 production numbers, which we haven't done yet, if we start looking at that and we say, hey, production's going to remain at those type of levels and we're seeing going to expect lower yields from all this dryness, which is very possible in a lot of these cane producing countries, then you start follow up that 7 million metric ton deficit with another 5 million metric ton deficit or something like that. I think that becomes meaningful.
Sure.
And that could get us into that mid-teens to
upper teens
type of market.
Got
exactly.
It. So we're starting to see that shift.
We're seeing the shift is here. It's just a matter of whether it's a long-term trend or a one-year trend.
Got it. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. And for those listeners that are subscribers to our IQ platform, we do a premium content podcast that we're going to continue on the world sugar market, talking a little bit specifically commercially what's happening and some more in-depth on numbers and et cetera. So pretty cool stuff. If you're not a subscriber to our IQ platform, reach out to us at McKinney-Flavelle.com or simply call us. There's some good stuff on there. Charts, analysis, and in-depth webinars and podcasts. So, again, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Great job.
Sweet.
And for everyone out there, enjoy your weekend. As I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for every moment that you have. Enjoy your family, your friends, and until next week, take care, everybody. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney-Flavelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.